Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
The Department of Homeland Security's Inspector General is investigating allegations of racial discrimination at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London. A spokesperson for the Inspector General said the probe began within the past few months and could take up to a year. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
Black cadets in particular have raised concerns about the Coast Guard Academy's racial climate in recent years, including a perception that minorities are punished swiftly for slight infractions, while others face little consequence for harassment. The Academy is already under pressure from Congress. Last month, Democratic U.S. Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi proposed a bill to boost racial diversity of Coast Guard cadets. A spokesperson for the Academy said it's cooperating with the Department of Homeland Security's investigation. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Black babies cost less.
Now, the problem of bias against pregnant women in the workplace. Today marks the 40th anniversary of a law known as the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. The law has been crucial, making it illegal for employers to deny a woman a job, a promotion, or higher pay because she's pregnant. But a new investigation has found there are important gaps in the workplace where this is not being observed. And it can be even more difficult with physically demanding jobs. That is the focus of what William Brangham explores tonight. And a note for viewers, this conversation discusses sensitive subjects.
Warehouses are some of the fastest growing workplaces in America, employing more than a million people. As part of an ongoing series about pregnancy discrimination in the workplace, The New York Times discovered some warehouses where pregnant women alleged that their requests for lighter duties were rejected and they then had miscarriages. The Times report focused on alleged troubles with one warehouse in Memphis, Tennessee. It's currently owned by a company known as XPO Logistics, which owns supply chain warehouses used by many name brand corporations. Several women say they had miscarriages after what they alleged was harsh treatment at that facility. XPO denies all these allegations. But we're going to talk about one of these cases and the larger picture here beyond just one company. Tasha Morell had a miscarriage while employed at that warehouse in Memphis shortly before XPO bought it in 2014. She's now with the Teamsters, which is trying to organize a union at the same warehouse. And Fatima Goss Graves is the CEO of the National Women's Law Center. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Tasha, I wonder if you could just start off by telling us a little bit about what happened with you. I know you were working in this warehouse while you were pregnant back in 2014. What kind of work were you doing back then?
We process items that come down a conveyor belt, whether it's phones, tablets, gadgets, whatnot. It's very challenging. It's very hot in that building. We do not have air. We lift boxes 45 pounds or more. And that's picking them up, lifting them.
And I understand at the time that this was causing some discomfort for you. Did you express that to your supervisor?
Absolutely. February of 2014, I found out that I was pregnant. I immediately went to the doctor. He put on my doctor note no heavy lifting. My supervisor saw that note, but she disregarded that note because she still sent me to areas where I had when I had to pick up 45-pound boxes and heavier boxes.
So you're saying that you went to the supervisor and said, look, I've got a doctor's note saying I'm not supposed to lift heavy things. Can I do something different? What was the supervisor's reaction?
Yes, I did request lighter duty because it is lighter duty. That company accommodates who they want to accommodate. So I did ask for lighter duty, and I did tell my supervisor that I could not lift heavy boxes. She stated to me that I should have an abortion. And I just looked at her because I was so shocked that she told me to have a freaking abortion. So she eventually walked away from me. I stayed at work maybe 15 minutes later. I was hurting so bad. I went to sleep. But when I got up the next morning, my mattress was like drenched in blood. My husband was there. My two kids was there. And they were like, Mom, what's wrong? My husband was like so shocked. He didn't know what to do. You know, me crying, me in pain. So he rushed me to the ER. I got to the ER and the doctor examined me and checked me and everything. He was like, sorry, Ms. Morrell, but it's nothing we can do. You're miscarrying now and you just have to let it take its course.
I'm terribly sorry about you having to experience that. I know you have heard this already. The supervisor at the time says that's never what she said to you. The company has denied all of these allegations. They sent us a statement that said, we were saddened to learn about Ms. Morrell's loss in 2014. While we can't speak to what happened at this site before we bought it, we've created a culture that is strongly grounded in dignity and respect. Our workplace and pregnancy accommodation policies exceed what is legally required. They also allege that the Teamsters Union, for whom you now work, is stirring up these stories to make the company look bad. And I'm just curious what your reaction is to that when you hear that statement.
They're lying because, again, that supervisor not only told me that, but it was four or five women that was pregnant at the same time that I was pregnant. It was like a trickle-down effect. I mean, and to try to put it on the Teamsters, no one was affiliated with the Teamsters. I now work for the Teamsters to speak out, but I wouldn't dare allow anyone to downgrade the Teamsters because they are the ones that gave us a platform, that gave the voiceless a voice. So I feel like that's just very disrespectful to try to blame someone for their mistakes.
I want to turn to Fatima Gosgraves. When you hear a story like this, when I read about her story in the New York Times and about allegations of this kind of behavior going on in other warehouses, the thing that really struck me is that I thought surely this kind of treatment of a pregnant woman asking for lighter duty when she has a doctor's recommendation, that should be a legal requirement, but it's not.
You know, I'm so grateful for Tasha and the other pregnant workers for speaking out because 40 years after Congress first passed the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, you would think that this wouldn't be a problem. What happened was a few years ago, there was a Supreme Court decision that limited the interpretation, that basically made it harder for pregnant workers when they need accommodations to get them. And there have been a huge backlash to that decision. We have had over 18 states pass new laws to be more directive, to sort of say, actually, a pregnant worker shouldn't have to choose between having a healthy pregnancy and being able to stay on the job and get the income that they need, which is the really terrible choice people are having to make right now.
So what does the law currently say? What is protected under law and what is not?
Well, pregnant workers should know that they cannot experience discrimination on the job. So I don't want to put out misinformation on that. But the real challenge is around when you need an accommodation. Not all pregnant workers are going to need them. Many people, when I was pregnant at my job, which is really cushy at a desk, I didn't actually need any accommodations.
Same with my wife.
But sometimes you do. And we hear from workers who need really basic things. Sometimes they just need the ability to go to the bathroom when they need to, or be able to have water, or working as a cashier, being able to have a stool so they're not standing all day. Unfortunately, what the Supreme Court said is that an employer can make a determination that it isn't going to provide that accommodation if it's an unnecessary burden for them.
There seems to be a perverse incentive in the law which says that if you provide an accommodation for someone, then you're required to provide it for pregnant women or other women who ask for it. It seems to be incentivizing people to provide no accommodation whatsoever.
And unfortunately, a lot of employers have gotten more rigid and have made working conditions abusive for everyone. And so they say, we treat everyone equally bad, and that is our rule. Well, that isn't a good rule for anyone. And, you know, the conditions that she described, the heat conditions, the hours without breaks, all of those are things that they should be really fixing for all workers, but certainly for workers who need them.
All right, Fatima Goss-Graves and Tasha Morell, thank you both very much.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, November 9, 2018, so I have been told. Still adjusting. Not Thursdays, Friday, our weekly broadcast neutralizing workplace racism. If we have black people victims of white supremacy anywhere in the world, if you have figured out things that work on the job, these are things to do to keep you from having problem with racists or other non-white people. These are things not to do to make sure that you don't have any problems. Get your compensation taken care of without issue. If you need days off, if you need a vacation, if you need your desk moved, if you do not want your desk moved, if you like where you are, you want to be in the same location for as long as you're at the company. If that's 50 years, I want to be right here for the next five decades. Whatever it is, you have figured out how to get in that wonderful position unmolested. We need details so we can replicate your job well done in not being mistreated on the job. The number 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Certainly, if we have victims who are having problems on the job, you're being mistreated, you're having a situation that you would like a counter-racist perspective, dial in, let us know. We would be glad to give you some suggestions. You can think about it and come to your own conclusion about what would be the best way to proceed with, you know, your particular problem. But again, the goal always to try to solve problems on the job without creating new problems. As always, you can also email if you are in a position where you're not able to talk or you don't want to talk live on air. You can drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com, and I can read your commentary on the air if it's a problem that you want addressed, or if you have, you know, feedback for what you've heard thus far and you want to share. I can read your commentary and keep it anonymous. I know Thomas in New York, he dialed in yesterday and was saying that, unless I misheard, that he had a situation that resulted in a physical altercation of some sort with a suspected race soldier. So hopefully we will get details on that if that was indeed workplace related. If I did hear that correctly, that would not be the first time that I have heard from a Cows listener where something happened on the job where it ended up resulting in a physical confrontation. If we have had victims where that sort of thing has happened, if you would like to give us the details, that would be grand. Certainly, you want to try to avoid that, you know, if at all possible. I've seen so many, the general rule, basically, whites are going to come out on top every time, pretty much with some sort of accusation that you, you know, lost your cool, got emotional, whatever it is. Rally like Voltron. They do it very well in those situations, coming to the aid of the white person and say, oh man, he was brutalized and Negro aggression, we can't tolerate that. So definitely always want to be trying to work to try to make sure that that doesn't happen. But you know, this is a system of racism, white supremacy. It is deception, direct violence. So certainly something to be alert about in the workplace. Definitely try to avoid, but if we've had people where things have gotten to that point, you could let us know. Maybe we can even be knowing some signs. These are things, you know, that you can be on the lookout for when it might get to that point, so you know if you need to exit or take extra precautions if it's looking like it's going to be that explosive of a situation. Also wanted to know from folks who dialed in if the election popped up on the job. For any folks, I would think might be more salient depending on where you are. I would suspect maybe in Georgia, that might be something that would come up a little bit more. People nagging to ask you if you voted at all or who you voted for, that sort of thing. Folks can let us know if that has been the case. On the job consistently, I recommend not talking about politics, certainly not talking about, you know, who you voted or what you think about who won, whatever the election is. That's not what you're on the job for. If whites want to talk about any of that, that's fine. But, you know, I would not be there to give them a rundown of who I pulled the lever for in the midterms. We had a person who wrote in already. I will keep my eye on the switchboard for other commentary. Person wrote in, I think this is a non-white female. She says, I'm the only black employee at my job at this point. The white employees claim not to like me because I don't make jokes or entertain them. I'd be curious as to how the person ascertained this. Like, did they come out and say that, that they don't like you because of all that, or how this the person concluded that? Anyway, I am also not here to be a shoulder to lean on for depressed white women. They claim I don't know anything and try to call me lazy. My racist manager tells them not to help me for certain projects. I have to get their signature or approval and so forth. I say this to say that I was out one day of the week last week, and so many white employees came by my desk to check on me to see if I was there. This happens every time I am out. My non-black, non-white coworker always tells me the white employees are concerned about my whereabouts when I'm not at my desk. A recent example, a non-white, non-black employee had surgery and was out 3 weeks. She came back and no one bothered her or asked about her. I took a four-day vacation and a gang of whites kept bothering me when I came back. They pretended to be concerned. Even the whites that hate my guts were consistently checking my desk to see if I was there while I was gone. The second part to their racism is that when I'm gone, the spotlight is on them, and their laziness, incompetence, is something the racist manager cannot miss. The manager just sits and monitors me all day to give you an idea. All of our projects are time sensitive, so if I'm out, they miss the deadline, they get in trouble. They always use me as a scapegoat since I'm heavily monitored and never believed. My white coworkers are dedicated to practicing racism against me. Aren't they all? Aren't they all? Again, the surveillance in the workplace, none of us should be surprised about that, regardless of the levels. If you take a vacation, I'd also be curious as to how this person ascertained that they're checking their desk area, I guess, when you're not present. How did you conclude that? Like, are things moved around on the desk, or is it just, you know, other non-white people are telling you that they are looking for you and coming by and that sort of thing? But regardless, none of that should be shocking. That's part of the reason why I say we shouldn't be leaving things at our desk or work area as though this, you know, area is yours and it's going to be your private confidential area. That is not the case at all. And we also should not be in the mindset of thinking that there is concern for us, as though, oh man, we hope that you're doing well or you're not sick. I know it was mentioned the other employee was out for a considerable amount of time for the surgery. I wouldn't even then think that it's going to be, oh, we brought you, you know, a fruit basket and baked chitlins. We know that, you know, that's your favorite, the Negras, and watermelon. We're so concerned about you. I wouldn't expect that even then. Just keeping it tacky to expect that regardless of the situation, so that it doesn't upset you. They can come by and look and monitor. That's what I expect, even if they got cameras up, whether they do it manually, whether they send other non-white people, so that that sort of thing doesn't bother or surprise you in the workplace. And in terms of them being incompetent and all that, I would just keep in mind that white people are very aware. They're practicing racism when they're saying that you're lazy, or that you don't know what you're doing, you're not up to speed on the projects and that sort of thing. That's just them practicing racism. They know very well that the other whites are lazy or not doing their work or are dillying around and not doing it on time so that they can blame it on you or your absence or whatever it is. White people are very aware and probably chatting amongst themselves. I can't emphasize that enough. The Voltron effect, white people are constantly networking and talking amongst themselves on the job, usually about us, often about us. So just keep that in mind as well. They're not ignorant. One of their favorite activities. I'll pause there. If other folks, again, if you want to write in, it's untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. We can share your commentary on the air. Incidentally, the reports, both of them that played before we went on air, I guess I did want to make sure I got in a quick word about those. The pregnancy report, obviously, just finishing my prenatal yoga training. That stuck out to me for many reasons. But I just read the New York Times. They had a big write-up about that miscarrying at work. And again, they don't mention racism specifically. And there was no video to the report that I played. It was just audio. But the pictures that they had, all of the pictures, and it was more than three, all of the pictures of the victims for these miscarriages on the job, they were black females. And in the report, they were talking about that New York Times article. It sounded like all the people that they interviewed could have been black females who are having this problem of being terrorized on the job and them not providing not providing them with safe conditions while they are pregnant. So that they can, you know, carry their baby to term safely. Standard operating procedure. I would not be surprised if that is disproportionately impacting black females, where they're especially callous towards them all the way around, either not hiring them or wanting to find ways of getting them fired, or certainly making sure that we're not, you know, going to allow them to go to the bathroom. Many things stood out to me in that segment, but the horror of it all. But when they were talking about not being able to get bathroom breaks, I had been on job where myself and others who were not pregnant, they wouldn't even allow us to go to the bathroom. I remember one of my colleagues getting a urinary tract infection. And the doctor said it was because of that, not being allowed to go to the bathroom. And the doctor said specifically told her, get another job. If you're going to be on a job and they're going to be ogres about you even being able to go to empty your bladder, get another job, update that resume. This is ridiculous. But I remember that being in. This went on for months and months and months. I remember being chastised coming in one day for work because I went to the bathroom before I came in. It was, wait a minute, what are you doing going to the bathroom? You need to come here first and then you can go to the bathroom. Can't even imagine being pregnant, dealing with that sort of environment. That is the system of white supremacy. I'll stop there. Number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. We have the first few folks who dialed in with a hand up. If you have your own situation that you would like to address, if you have coding, things that have worked well in the job that others should hear about, we always need to hear that. First few folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open. Proceed.
Greetings.
Greetings, retired firefighter.
Oh, greetings, Jay. Greetings, Gus. Greetings, everyone. I'm surprised that I was the first person. Actually, what I was waiting for, Mr. Thomas to bring his update, and I was going to function from there. I'll just hold on and let somebody else go ahead on in front of me.
For sure. Yeah, we'll look out for Mr. Thomas as well if he's able to share today. I think he did. If I heard correctly, I thought he said yesterday his situation was related to workplace racism, but we shall see.
This is workplace racism day, right?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. I'm still getting getting adjusted myself, but yes, Workplace Racism Today, the book club, now on Thursdays, Workplace Racism Fridays. Yes, everybody's correct.
Yeah, I was surprised that I was the first one because it's 8:26 Eastern Standard Time down here, so it's like 26 minutes after, you know, normally I would be kind of like a little bit late, so I was surprised about that, but
no worries today. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, did y'all have commentary? Was that?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, how's it going, guys? this is a black man engineer. I just had a couple things I wanted to comment on. I wonder have you seen that video of that sick, like, older black male teacher that was in an altercation with that student?
I've read about the report. I think it was the black music teacher, I think he was, where the student, I think it was a teenage student, called him a nigger and he, struck him. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, the teenage student actually hit him with a basketball as well. The thing about that student is a quote unquote Hispanic Latino. And, I live in Florida. So, you know, I pretty much see how Latinos function in the system of white supremacy. And I've said this before, but Latinos function as white people. That's how I view them, at least. I view them as white people, unless they're like really dark-skinned or something. But even then, they could be highly white-identified. But I just think on the job that black, non-white black people should be very careful of any black and brown coalition or black or brown people of color organization. I would just be weary of that because I think, you know, it's like a covert dog whistle to say, let's just gang up on the black people. Because that's how I view, that's how I see it. That's how I see a lot of other quote unquote minorities acting on the job. When I look at my organization, the most, you know, they're always tooting diversity. So when they talk about, like, when I see the people who are the minorities, quote unquote, that are in the higher positions, they are Latinos. Your Diaz's, Rodriguez, Castro's, you know, Nuns, you know, like, and if you were to line these people up and tell them not to speak, they look like everyday white people. So I'm just confused as to what the function of calling these people Latino or Hispanic actually means. And I'll end it right there.
I know we've talked about this on the program many times. That's why I've encouraged not using the term Latino or Hispanic, that these are not terms that are providing clarity about the problem. If we're talking about white supremacy, racism, what I've said consistently is this person white? Because frequently what's happening is we're just talking about someone who is classified as white, and happens to speak Spanish. They are a racist white supremacy who is able to do a little bit of Espanol. That's what we're talking about sometimes, not Latino or Hispanic or any of the rest of it. As for the people of color coalitions or black or brown coalitions on the job, what I've said consistently, when you are on the job, you are functioning united, independent. That is the codified way. I wouldn't care if everybody there was black and the color of Lupita Nyong'o. Even then, you would be functioning united, independent. Racists can get anyone, whether they're classified as white or non-white, to help in supporting racism, white supremacy on the job or any other area of people activity. So none of us should be expecting an allegiance, help, cooperation in a workplace setting from anyone for any reason, regardless of what their racial classification is. I think that's just standard, and I think that would solve the problem. Then it wouldn't matter whether you go in and the people are the same complexion as you are, or they're speaking Spanish or Amharic or anything else. Whatever they're doing, I know I'm in the system of racism, white supremacy, so forgive the hate you give. I got my own back. That's what I'm going to expect. The only person that's got my back here is me. Hopefully that makes sense. Folks can let me know if I am talking crazy. Others who dialed in, if you have a hand up, line should be open. Proceed.
Can I briefly comment on that to bring some more clarity?
I reckon you are in the area of Florida.
Yes. White people are competitive with each other, even to the point of anger, even to the point of being violent, disagreeable. And they have these different terms, ethnic, you know, and, you know, it may be called Italian. I've heard a word, Latino, Polish, Eastern European, whatever. But bottom line is just like you said, and I've actually got the thought and understanding from Mr. Millard Fuller, white, non-white, white supremacist. I've been in South Florida for 60 years, and that element of white people always has been around. The only difference between the white people that speak Spanish and the ones that speak English is the difference of language. That's it, as far as they're concerned, but they're all white people. And as I think the caller did say, it's true that all of the heads of the departments in Miami-Dade County is made of white people who speak Spanish. It's one of their, I don't know if it's their main language, but it's definitely one of their languages as far as they're concerned. But they're no different than any other white people as far as they're concerned. You know, you can go some places like Pittsburgh and you will see white people who are called Polish, perhaps. You can go to New York and see white people who call themselves Italian, but they're still a white people. And I don't even use the term Italian or Polish. They're just white as far as they're concerned. And that keeps me focused on what I'm have to deal with. Thank you.
Context of white supremacy, very important in minimizing the confusion about those racial classifications, in my opinion, especially on the job, because it seems like a lot of folks end up, because it's frustrating being on the job and having people that are mistreating you or aiding and abetting in you being mistreated. So I certainly understand lots of folks ending up getting upset. But I think the logical, the accurate way of viewing what happening, white, non-white. Sometimes racists speak Spanish. Others who dialed in, if you have a hand up, commentary to share, line should be open. Proceed. wrecking people, a lot of gagging. I did see other hands. And again, for workplace racism, I forgot to get in my reminder. This is not a broadcast for entertainment purposes. Certainly, there are lots of wonderful things happening on a Friday evening where folks could be out and about. I think there's still high school football going on, Friday night lights and such, and television viewing options, lots of choices. This is not for entertainment, so certainly should not be spectators. If you are listening to the broadcast, victim of white supremacy, I am sure you have some sort of work history. I'm sure you've had some issues on the job. If you have not, well, then you should for sure invest. Racism-notes.com. Racism-notes.com. PayPal button is in the top right corner. If you don't have any of those issues, whites don't mess over you or anyone else, non-white people, so-called Latinos, they don't mess over you on the job. Everything is grand. Invest, and then you should still dial in to let us know how you pulled that off. Let's see. Check in again with the folks that are here. Folks still spectating? Wait to see other hands. I'll give them a few moments. I do see other hands. I'm not sure if they're in an area where they're able to talk or not. I know for the politics, because we did have people who were talking about that before. I know some folks said that they felt confident, secure enough to get to the position where they could ask questions. That's certainly one where you might have some whites who are feeling... how would I say, they're feeling happy enough with whatever happened with the election, or at least excited enough that they might be down to chat it up. So if you're confident that I'm not going to make this about something where I got to show them what I know or what I think, or, you know, really pick apart what they're saying, sure, ask a question or two. Who did you vote for? What did you think about the results? Especially, I'm a big fan of the turning it back around. If there's a question they ask you, what do you think about the election? Did you vote for that Gillum fella, or did you vote for that Stacey Abrams, or wherever, you know, wherever you are? I don't pay attention to all that. Did you vote? Did you vote? What did you, vote for Mr. Gillum? Seems he came up short. Were you supporting him? And boop, they might be ready to roll to let it talk. You can do some studying, even on the job, for folks who feel comfortable. If you're not interested in that, you don't want to hear what they say, no problem. Just, I don't talk about politics. I think we presented that so you have options. We presented that as a code before as well. I don't talk about politics, and keep it pushing. If you want to move past all of that and you don't want to even engage in the nonsense in your workplace. But that's, folks, if anybody had to deal with the midterms on the job this week, being harassed about that. I hope nobody had to be harassed about voting. If you work in an environment with a lot of black people and you decided not to vote, I hope you didn't have to be harangued about that decision. I know we had some people who said that they were not into the voting at all. So yeah, you can let us know if you had to deal with that too. Folks still spectating, the folks who dialed in with a hand up, are folks still spectating?
Can I be heard?
Thomas in New York. Folks were waiting. That was one we wanted to hear for workplace racism.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Josh. Good evening to all the callers. I know you're right, poorly, but I hope you're well. Yeah, you know, the beautiful thing about this area is, unless it's like the presidential election, it's generally like really nothing to talk about, you know. Maybe the mayor, because that could go either way. But I mean, for Congress and stuff, they generally are just like very liberal. So you know, that's who they support, and you know, it is, you know, very a very liberal place, New York. I'm sure it's very similar to Seattle. So it's not a lot of conversations about what's going on in Florida or in Georgia, you know, in New York. You know, it's like you don't get to hear that stuff. So I look forward to hearing stories from the water cooler, from the people that live in those areas. And the lady in Georgia got almost zero white support at the polls. I mean, she got slaughtered by the white people. My day yesterday at work, there's these groups that hang out around my office, handing out pamphlets all the time, and they're very anti, I guess you could say, different countries around the world. And they tend to have these protests and things, but I never witnessed anything like this before. So I'm already pretty pissed off because I go across to the other building. Like I said, it's two buildings across the street from each other. And I take the stuff I'm supposed to take there. And when I get back, and it's about my lunchtime, someone tells me to bring over some boxes. So this is when you leave the building with boxes, it's a process. You got to go through a certain elevator. You got to leave through the loading dock. You know, it's very difficult. So it's time consuming. So I'm looking at my lunch and, you know, I'm hungry, you know. And so I get to the, you know, out and I'm walking across the street. And I noticed they had this protest when I went there the first time. They had a big plastic U.S. drone with bombs on it. And they're talking about the children in Yemen being bombed by Saudi Arabia and all this stuff. So I didn't pay any attention to it. But now when I go back across the street, they're in front of the doors where I have to enter to go into the other building. They formed the chain link. They're practicing this anarchist type activity. So I'm like, man, I don't got time for this. So when I get to the place where I need to go to enter, they're not letting me go through. So I said, so I'm laughing because it's more white people. And I'm like, man, you know, so I see the police. So I go to the police and I say, excuse me. I said, you know, I showed them my work identification. I said, I work in this building. I'm trying to bring these boxes upstairs. I have to get them there by a certain time. I said, and these people aren't allowing me to do my job. They're impeding my process, my procedure, what I'm supposed to be doing. And I need those people to be removed so I could go through with these boxes and deliver these to the floor. I have nothing to do with, you know, what they're protesting. My company is an accounting firm. Inside of these buildings in this area is all the consulates to the UN because it's right around the corner. So the mission, the UN mission to Saudi Arabia is inside of the building that I work in. You know, and I only go over here about 3-4 times a day just to bring over checks and important documents because this is where the accounting and all that stuff is done. So the police tell me, listen, it's nothing we can do, buddy. You know, there's a lot of them and, you know, we call for backup. What they're doing is wrong, but, you know, it's nothing we can do. Only thing I tell you is my back is turning. So if you got to do what you got to do, do what you got to do. So I'm like, okay. So I see one of the security guards that work in the building, and he's on the other side of the crowd trying to get the attention of the police himself. So I say, hey, bro, you know, can I go through the side entrance? It's a side entrance that, you know, I could go through. It took me all the way around the corner. And he says, no, because they have that entrance locked because of this protest and everything is locked down. He said, what you got to do is push your way through. So essentially, that's what I had to do. So these are all white people protesting, and they got these Arab people holding little fake dead babies, singing some prayers in Arabic, and they're singing along with them. So as I try to move these people, you know, out the way so I could go through, like I said, they formed this chain link. You know, the guy kind of let go of his chain link and pushed at me, you know, so I kicked him. And then the other one, I you know, reached out to hit him, but, you know, I ended up just, like, really shoving him real hard. And the white lady said, so before that happens, it's another guy who's trying to knock the boxes off the cart I'm pushing. And I said to him, I said, listen, if one of these boxes fall and I have to pick it up, they're going to be picking you up. You know, that's when the white lady says, please go, just let him go, just let him go. So they move the link, the chain link, and let me go through. And then they form the chain link again as I go through. But two girls that I work with, that work in that building, these two young interns that do accounting, they came through with me. They had their lunch. They were standing there for 20 minutes, unable to get into the building. So I get on the elevator. I'm pissed off now. So, you know, so I got to hit some white people. So that was a good thing. But nonetheless, you know, I felt the hierarchy what happened just in case, you know, anything came of it. And, you know, they pretty much said they were going to close that office for the rest of the day and don't go back over there, you know, for the rest of the day and you know, whatever's going on. So in my mind, and is they would never allow black people ever anywhere in America to do this. Like, I mean, we can't even have a stage protest. Just keep it moving. Keep walking. Keep walking. I mean, so that was my day yesterday. Today, white terrorists back to work in rare form. So I caught her with the CEO walking past. So I said, excuse me. And I said her name. I said, you know, I'm about to start pulling the files for the owner. I said, I'm gonna have a whole bunch for you. Where do you want me to put them? So I knew this was pissing her off because her plan was not to do this at all, even though she's making everyone else do this. Hers was, just throw all his stuff in the garbage. That's what I'm gonna do. So she says, do what you told, do what you were told to do. Bring them in my office. You could tell she was pissed. So of course, she came back at me later. For payback and retaliation for that, but at least I got somewhere to put all these files because she was gonna pretty much leave it to the point where I was responsible for them and anything that went wrong it wouldn't deal with her because she doesn't know how to read the files, even though she's the executive secretary. And I mean, all I'm thinking.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry you had to deal with all of that yesterday. My goodness. I guess the one thing that did stand out in my mind with all of that, still being in a system of racism, white supremacy, you're in New York. I would suspect most folks that are in major cities, I think Stacy is with us. London would certainly qualify, Miami, you're in these bigger, Washington, D.C., you're in these bigger cities. They got cameras everywhere. And I think Thomas in New York had a situation eons ago where he was going through the revolving door and not helping white people. He didn't want to hold it so the white guy could come through. And this racist gets caught in the door and then they try to make Thomas pay for the phone. So I bring all that up to say, a situation like that, it wouldn't surprise me if they had video where he said there were other employees who were there who, you know, witnessed the whole situation. It wouldn't surprise me if they wait a day or two, because I think if I remember right, with the phone situation with Thomas in New York, they waited like a week or so. Like, let's say the phone thing happened on Monday and they waited like, you know, 2 weeks later, two Wednesdays from then. They waited like, oh, yeah. Remember that phone thing? I think you broke that white man's phone and you need to pay him for his phone. That's the sort of to wait and come back 2 weeks later and be like, oh, yeah, the protesters, good people, were out trying to convey their message of nonviolence and peace. And,
you came through and ravaged them. Look at you. Look at you. You're on there kicking, and we just can't have that. It would not shock me at all. Folks think that that's, you know, I'm talking crazy or making up something, I guess, but it just wouldn't surprise me. I'd be very leery anytime where it just a situation like that happens where you're on a job and you have to end up putting hands on a person. And it's a white person at that, like, oh, man, it just wouldn't surprise me. And especially if they were white, if they were white chicks who you said had been waiting outside 20 minutes, wouldn't surprise me at all for them to go and snitch. Because, oh, yeah, Thomas was out fighting with the protesters and I was just scared. It looked like he had a chain in his pocket and he had a switchblade. And oh, my gosh, it was the. That's one.
Well, the first thing I did when I got upstairs was meet the two non-white girls. People with sleepy eyes. So they came on. I called the boss. I called the CEO. And I had them right here with me. And I told them, they explained everything, that they how they felt threatened, and, you know, how Thomas had to fight his way through to get us through. So I think I'm pretty covered with that because I was very transparent with everything that happened and everything I did. And she didn't seem to have a problem with it at all. But you never know. It is white supremacy.
Is it anything, now that you've had, I guess, a day or so to reflect on, anything that you would have done differently to try to get through all of that or how you handled it?
Well, the funny thing was, right, leaving the forfeits now, I have the cart, and it's a fold-up cart. And, you know, I'm like, in my mind, anyone trying to impede me from leaving because they have the link here, I'm going to hit them with the cart. When they saw me coming with the cart, they move right out the way. I feel like I wasn't waiting because they don't see the bleed of my terrorists. If I don't go to lunch at 1 o'clock, it's like the biggest deal ever. So it was that time to go to lunch. You know, I'm not giving up my time for these people. These white people stand up here acting like they care about what's going on with the Arab people. And, you know, like, I could care less about the Arabs or the white people. I hope people go. So that's how I felt. So, no, I wouldn't have done anything different. And I think that the guy did, it would be on the camera that he did push at me first.
I agree. I don't think they would allow black people to stand out front of that building or any other location and be disruptive in that manner. I could not admit. The MOVE organization, you can take your pick. That would not be allowed at all.
I'm sorry, Gus, but I just thought, and I didn't even live it in New York at this time, when Dr. Khalid Muhammad had the Million Youth March in front of the state building, like 1 minute after it was over, you know, everyone got tear gas. Like, they let them stand there for the whole day. Stood there with those white tire things in their hand, never used them. Never, you know, just let them shut the whole building down with no problem. Never let us do it, ever.
The correct word is white power, not white privilege. Exhibit, you know, 5,800,000, blah, blah, blah. White power, not white privilege. Great tactic, taking advantage when the white female terrorist had a more powerful white person present. And you can go ahead and ask what to do with the file boxes, because that's another one where they just like to whites where they're not doing what they're supposed to do. We already had the person who wrote in about the white people being incompetent and trying to push their work off on other black people and not doing what they're supposed to do. That's rampant in the workplace. And they try to figure out different ways of pulling black people, pulling non-white people into that. So when they're breaking rules and being lazy, being white, they go, oh, no, it was the Negro's fault. They didn't, you know, put it where they were supposed to do it. And all of that, or try to end up getting it so that you somehow end up getting the blame. Great job. So that I don't get tied into that the files are supposed to be here. That's where I'm going to put them. And then, you know, you do whatever you want to do with it. And not being surprised about her retaliation either. That is, you know, whites are going to be white. retired firefighter was concerned about, you know, your situation now that Thomas in New York has shared. Retired firefighter, did you want to speak to his confrontation?
Yes. It sounds like everything that ended up being where he had some sort of physical contact with a white person was kind of like set up for him to be able to do it and quote unquote get away with it. There is a, like you said, there is a possibility. There is a possibility that he may have to address it in the future. That's always a possibility. But he certainly got an opportunity to just go ahead and make a quick decision and in turn, you know, using some sort of level of physicality. It was the opportunity kind of like presented itself. It sounds like it. I had a similar situation, and I mentioned it on the show years ago, where this white male paramedic, I was riding what they call riding on a rescue truck that particular shift, and as a fourth person, normally they have three personnel, but I was like a fourth person because I guess they just didn't have nowhere for me to go. And all through the day, we had a lot of calls, a lot of emergency calls during the day. And just about every call that we went on, we actually transported the person to the hospital. With me primarily driving the stretcher, you know, guiding the stretcher into the hospital, and then the emergency personnel would tell you on what booth to go to take the patient to, that sort of thing like that. And I primarily was by myself in doing it. This particular call, it was involving a black male who got assaulted in the back of a parking lot about 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that. It wasn't really that much anything wrong with him. But the officer in charge, white male, decided to take him to the hospital anyway. And in this particular Eastern, this is about 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's very quiet in the ER room, 3 o'clock in the morning, in a lot of cases, quiet just about anywhere in the workplace. But anyway, so go there. And I went to speak to a fellow coworker that I knew that was on another unit and took my hand off the stretcher and turned my back to it, waiting for them to state on where to send the patient. And the white guy that was in the back with me yelled out loud and said, "First do your job, then you socialize," you know, with some base in it, with, you know, that sort of thing, you know. Basically, I guess they call it shaming. I heard, as far as what I understand with the word and how it's used nowadays. And it got me pretty angry. And before I know it, I had approached him and it literally had my hand on his throat, or somewhere near it anyway, at the particular time. The guy that I was talking to gently put his hand on my shoulder from behind and said, "Don't do that." The black male. And that kind of like calmed me down. And in turn, I didn't hear anything. Well, they had a little brief meeting between myself and the officer in charge, that sort of thing. And then there was a period of time where nothing was said, nothing went on for about almost a week. The next thing I know, I was brought into a meeting. But come to find out, the meeting was not so much about me. The meeting was about whether or not I would complain to the
the EEOC or something like that. Matter of fact, that was the reason. Only reason why I knew about it is because the white guy who I was about to put my hands on, he brought it up in the meeting and he just angered all of the other white people that was in there. Said, the only reason why you got him in here is because you're afraid that he would complain. You complain to the to the EEOC or something like that. He said, this is many, many years ago. And yeah, so I mean, it's possible they could, you know, basically call you in for something, you know, another, because although white people right there on the scene probably would give you the idea that, you know, okay, well, it's just like part to the core that I'm, you know, I'm involved in this kind of protest and I'm bound to have some sort of a competition like that. They are sneaky, like they'll come around and include you into something, you know. That's just how they are, you know, as far as they're concerned. But I would say if I was in the same position, I probably would have done the same thing, Thomas. I would have done the same thing, you know, as far as they're concerned. But and regretted it maybe later on, you know, but I probably would have done the same thing.
Much obliged, retired firefighter, context of white supremacy. And the reason that I said, you know, that's just something to consider in the workplace, really anywhere, if, you know, it comes to counter violence, because we still are in the system of racism, white supremacy, that even if you, you know, get in a few good licks, that racist man, racist woman, because they have more power, sometimes they get in the last lick, and the best and last lick. Just something to consider. And really, anytime with counter violence, I'm of the opinion that unless that was your plan, like you spent the last 6 months saying, oh yeah, today is going to be my counter violence plan, and everything that is about to happen, I spent the last 6 months getting all of this together. This is going to according to my plan. Then brilliant. Anytime where it's, I was going out to get, you know, a salad, some fresh spinach, and now all of a sudden fisticuffs have broken it. Like, whoa, like, whoa. Like, there should be a lot of thought anytime where it happens in that manner, because racists are very good at instigating things where they end up having, as I said, the last and best lick.
That's true. That's true. I would state that the white male who was the center of my anguish, he actually stayed into trying to create problems with me. He and I on the same level as far as rank wise. So he had to go through different measures in order to stay after me in a negative way. I mentioned this on the program years ago also, that I had a book on Malcolm X. It was no bigger than a comic book, literally. I mean, it was so small. So it wasn't like it, and it also gives a lesson on how white people actually pay attention to non-white black people. And between calls, well, going on the call, I put the book up into the bathroom where I was at the time, and went on the call, came back, and thinking about, well, you know, going back to where I thought my book was, and it wasn't there. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I left it somewhere else. So, it was, you know, I was going around for maybe about 20, 30 minutes. And next thing I know, somebody asked me to report to the chief's office. And I go in there, and the battalion chief had my book fingering through it. And he asked me, well, if a white person brought a book about the Ku Klux Klan to work, how would you feel about it? I said, I'll feel fine. As a matter of fact, I would ask him to borrow the book. I'd like to read it. You know, and basically what I told him in paraphrase, that I can bring whatever type of book I want to work, and read it,
as long as I'm not interfering with anybody else. Because, you know, at the fire station, you got the Bible, you have adult triple X literature, and showing it on television at that particular point in time. All of this type of stuff was going on, you know, during that time when I was on the fire department. So, you know, he's, you know, a hypocrite, you know, right from the start in his conversation, you know, from that line. And he kind of like let it go from there. What happened was that very same white guy that I had to run in with, he got the book and thought he was going to be able to get me, quote unquote, in trouble. And in that light, nothing really came out of that at all. Of course, I still bring literature to work, of course, all through my time on the fire department. But similar to what the former NFL player stated when you were interviewing him. I missed that particular program. But so ended up what happened with this guy, because I wasn't the only victim that he had been bothering. He has that type of personality, and he ended up killing himself on a scuba diving trip out somewhere. I don't know where he was at, you know, as far as that concerned, and a boat ran over him. And I guess that ended my period of him harassing me, as far as that concerned.
Context of white supremacy. I think for years I have told.
Sad story, huh?
I think for years I have told folks to be mindful about the literature you bring on the job. If it's either keeping, number one, certainly not leaving the book in your area where you are at work or what have you, keep it, you know, in your briefcase, backpack, whatever it is, keep it in the car, just go out to your vehicle and read on your brakes or what have you. But surveillance, talk about that all the time. Surveillance, racists are extremely nosy. And if not the thing that they are most concerned about, certainly tops on the list, black people managing the niggers. If you have thoughts on what has been shared thus far, certainly if we have, you know, any other folks who've unfortunately, I would say, had a confrontation happen on the job, if you want to give details about what happened with your situation, or if you want to share anything that has been discussed this evening, you have any thoughts, the number 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, want to encourage folks to make sure that you're documenting. I know we have some folks who are already on board with the recording situation. I would just say make sure that you have that codified in terms of how you want to record, and so that you can maximize knowing what the laws are. I guess the rules and regulation at your company, and then the laws in your area, so how you can maximize your recording efforts. If you are recording and having your codes, that you can make sure that you are swift with activating your device, however you are recording. If you're not recording, having another means of taking notes on the job that is so critically important for so many reasons, that we are documenting things that are happening to us in the workplace. I hope Thomas in New York documented the altercation. That would certainly be one to file and just, you know, have a folder. You can have separate folders. This can be a literal folder or folder, you know, on a device or what have you, but separate folders each time you go to a new plantation, just so that any incidents, anything that happens, you have a catalog of all of those significant events together, and you don't have to rely on your memory for all the details that happen. As you get traumatized, sometimes certain details might be lost. You don't quite remember everything that's important. Get all that stuff documented and or recorded and filed efficiently so that you can access it if you need it at some point. In my view, I think it is much better to have that information and have it stored where you can access it easily, as opposed to then you end up needing it and you don't have it. other victims.
Because, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Oh, yes. I have another, well, actually, it's a question to you and all the callers, because I've noticed that the French lady that at my job, every day she wears something that's black. I've never seen her in anything other than black clothing. And then her boss, the CEO, and she's been here since I started in January, and every day she wears black. She's never worn anything other than black clothing. And I wondered if, you know, anyone thought that that's is something with white women who only wear black clothing, or is that something that is work appropriate, I guess, on the corporate level? I don't know. But everyone else wears, even my terrorist, you know, she wears different colors. And she's a lot darker than them, too, because she's Irish. But I just thought it was very odd that these two white women wear black every day. The only two people in the job to do that.
I have known other whites who that was their thing. They just wore black all the time, even in what they would call like a professional setting. They would still wear black every day. I've known some whites who were not in a professional setting and they still wore black every day for a variety of reasons. So yeah, it could be lots. I've heard lots of different explanations for why some of them do. We had, remember Dr. Welsing talked about the book, Men in Black, which is all about the history of white fashions wearing black clothing. He talks about a lot of it, but yeah, it's unless you see something in it in terms of her behavior related to racism, white supremacy, I probably wouldn't spend too much time. I'd be much more worried about her showing her undergarments and making tacky racist comments about me than, you know, why she's sticking to black fashion. Other folks have commentary on what has been shared thus far or your own situation that you would like to discuss. If you have a hand up, should be with us.
Hi, Cos.
Stacy in the UK. I think everybody is on the same clock now, so we're back to the 8-hour difference, which would make it 2:12 a.m. Saturday morning.
Yes. Oh, if you had the clock change as well, then I wasn't sure. Time change. Hello to you, Gus, and to the rest of the callers. In terms of Thomas's question, it could be anything. I mean, lots of women, maybe even men, wear black to look slimmer, and maybe she's trying to look good for you. Or it could be, you know, it's a power thing as well in the workplace, but who knows? I mean, people wear all kinds of colours for all kinds of reasons. In terms of my update, I'll give my Welsing moment, actually. I had a combined surveillance or Welsing moment this week. There is a new female racist suspect who joined the team. She's been in your organisation for about a month now, and I had a catch-up with her this week, and she sent me, it's just part of her induction, so she's meeting everybody in the team, and she sent me an invite a couple of weeks ago, and in the invite she said obviously that it was part of her induction, there's a piece of work that I needed to hand over to her. But the first thing she actually put in the email, which I've never received before, was she wanted to know my experience of working in the organization, which I just thought, wow. I just thought that was unusual, and given that she's already had her interview and I think I've already had mine because I've been working there longer than her, why she would, but the first thing that she'd put in an email is she wants to know my experience of working in the organisation. Needless to say, we've focused on the bits of work that I'm doing and specifically the piece of work that I'm handing over to her. Now, early on in the week, she... I don't know whether it's just that she's trying to get to know me, in inverted commas, but I was walking back to my desk and she was behind me. I didn't realise she was there. It was quite noisy in the office. It's winter time, so I had on boots. And she must have been calling me, but I had one of my headphones in, but it was noisy, so I wasn't paying attention to what was going on behind me anyway. So she reached out and touched me, which really annoyed me. And she said, "Oh, I was just saying, I really love your boots. They're so strong and powerful." And I just thought, okay, I think I've definitely had a Welsing moment, because they are black leather boots. And I think, I guess that combines with her somehow, somewhere in there telling me that I'm uppity because of the way I walk. And it's not the first time I've had a racist suspect comment on the way I walk. But yes, my boots are very strong. Anyway, it's anti-bullying week next week. And I think it's across the UK. And so the plantation there where I work, they're also doing something on bullying. And the lead into this was a survey. Now, we had a survey done, a full staff survey last December, and they usually happen every 2 years, so I can't, you know, for some reason they're pretending they're interested in improving people's experience in the workplace. And so they did a bullying and harassment survey. Ordinarily, the response rate is what the last one was, quite high, so it was in the high 90s. 58% of people responded to it, and the results were pretty damning, really, in terms of bullying and harassment. Now, what they, you know, because they gave us some feedback on a blog on the internet, but what they didn't give us, and what I was thinking is, if they gave us the breakdown of the ethnic breakdown, so how many non-white staff, how many white staff actually responded to that survey and who didn't, I suspect that there would be a high number of non-white staff who either didn't respond, or if they did, would be on the receiving end of bullying. But it was very telling that, you know, not a lot of people even decided to respond to the survey. And on the theme of bullying and harassment, which continues, mid-year reviews are approaching. So I've been going through another deceptive experience with my line manager for the last couple of months. As a reminder, I won't return to work on the 30th of, sorry, in July. And I was told at the end of the month I should have had my objectives set. And so I arranged a meeting with my manager to go through my objectives. She mysteriously didn't have time to really think about them. So we rescheduled. I think I may have had, or attempted to do it in August. I can't remember if it actually happened in August. Anyway, in September, she came along. She said she had started to do it. For some reason, she couldn't print off anything and hadn't emailed me anything either. So we're sat in this one-to-one with her, and she's got a piece of paper where she started to draft some objectives, but can't hand me anything. Lots of track changes. So, you know, this was all very mysterious and very peculiar. But I thought, okay, well, I'll let you continue with that. And she said she would send it to me. She didn't. October, we had another meeting, because I emailed her and I said, "What's happening with my objectives?" And again, she did exactly the same thing. For some reason, she couldn't print it. She hasn't forwarded anything to me. And we're looking over this updated, quite frankly, it might as well have just been a piece of scrap paper she picked up out of the dustbin, because with all the track, when I say track changes, I mean that when you're using, for those people who don't do a lot of typing, when you're using a word processor and people change, they can track changes. So you've got everybody's edits all over it. So it's really hard to read when you've got all the changes being tracked on the document. So it might as well have been in hieroglyphics. And she's not handing it over to me. So I know they're practicing deception. And so, again, I emailed her a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "Oh, I'm going to be working from home tomorrow, so I'll type it up and send it to you." Needless to say, that didn't happen. I emailed her about 2 weeks ago, said, "What's happening with my objectives?" And can we get them set? Because there are other things going on. So I know that they're playing games. And so eventually, in between this, I'm very rarely having one-to-one. So when I first went back to work, we agreed fortnightly one-to-ones. They very rarely happen. So I had probably two in July, maybe one in August, one in September, one in October. So, you know, it's just nonsense. And she had emailed me to say, oh, well, do you want to do a fortnightly one-to-ones? Would that work for you? As I said, that would be great in my email response. You know, we've already had that discussion. So, you know, she's just playing games anyway. But I sent her a really strong email, which is why now we're having one-to-ones. And the first one was in a while was, I think, on Wednesday. And she eventually emailed me something so that we've got the end of year review. Oh, sorry, mid-year review. It must be mid-year review at the end of the month. So I'm just deciding whether or not I even participate in this because we haven't agreed. She's only sent me the documents. We haven't agreed objectives. So it's going to be very difficult for me to talk about how I've performed against objectives that weren't set. So it's, you know, I'm in two minds whether or not I even participate in the process or if I do. Just put one-line statement on there saying I can't really comment on my performance because my objectives were not set. So it's very difficult to, you know, actually say that I've been performing to any standard because I don't know what the standard is that I'm expected to perform to. Interested in any comments on that, Gus, and I'll make my line.
Much obliged, Stacey in the UK. Not surprised about the bullying information, not trying to serious address the problems of black people. I don't know why, but I found it relevant, I guess, that last month was Black History Month across the waters. And so now we just finished Black History Month, and now we're going to do bullying and harassment. We could have done bullying and harassment for Black History Month, which would have been appropriate. That's not what they did. They did twerking for Black History Month. Now, November, now we'll do bullying and harassing. Anywho, not trying to seriously address the problem. With the objectives, I think that that's fantastic, particularly your strongly worded letter. And bringing that up repeatedly, having an email trail documenting, talking about that, because this is how they set us up for failure, where they do not set, these are the clear objectives. This is, you know, what you're expected to do and how we're going to gauge your performance. This is all the stuff that they talk about when it's time for a raise and an evaluation, a promotion, all of that. This is, you know, right there, the foundation of it. And they do this sort of thing deliberately. And him and Han make up all kinds of excuses and, oh, well, we'll get a meeting. And as she's, oh, well, let me see if I can get it together last minute and get some scraps together. They don't do that sort of thing for whites. They have it printed out in advance, tidy, bold face print. So, you know, exactly what to expect, exactly how you're going to be evaluated. So I think that's spectacular. I would be consistent. How am I supposed to evaluate my performance and what I'm doing when I can't even get, you know, clear objectives about what my duties and responsibilities are and how I'm supposed to gauge myself in that performance? I mean, I think that's continue with that procedure. And I would encourage other victims of racism, if you're in that position where you cannot get clarity about what is expected of you in performing your job, be consistent with that. That is so critically important. And if it's a sort of thing where you're supposed to have performance evaluations, I think that's another major pattern. We've had a lot of victims where they're supposed to get reviewed to help them do better at your job. That's what all this is about. I can do better, be more efficient, get paid better, get a promotion, move up the ladder. That's what we're all supposed to be here for. They don't do that for black people. End up missing those reviews. You don't get all the evaluations, things that you could be doing better, or kudos on things that you're doing well. Be mindful about that in emails. Get that email trail going so that you have electronic documentation that not only are these things not happening, I've been inquiring and trying to solve this problem so we can figure out why this is not happening and I'm not getting the help I need. Other folks, if you have thoughts on what Stacey had to share, and or if you have your own situation, or I guess if you have thoughts on, you know, what's been shared, Stacey and others, or if you have your own situation, the number again, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. While I'm waiting, see, we had, if any folks wrote in. Oh, we had people who wrote in about white people taking time off and how to deal with that. I suspect that's there's going to be a lot of that the next 2 months. At least that's been my experience, where I've seen whites who they will save and take all of their personal vacation, sick days, whatever it is, will be all taken like now for all of their hard days. I've seen that consistently. In fact, I've been on jobs where it got so tacky, I don't even know if they were taking their holidays, but we were in a facility where just, I'm not even talking about the entire organization, I'm just talking about my group, where it was like approximately 35 employees in our group, in our section of the building. And it would be like 10 of us. Like, I mean, literally, it would be like 25% of the staff. You'd be like, where is everybody else? Like, are they just like chilling? They're just not, like, it ended up having to be a staff thing. We had to bring this up in the meeting. Like, you know, you can't just not be here because it's the holiday. Like, you have to come and you know, work. And this was having to I don't know if it was shame, but admonish other whites for doing this. So that this will probably be greatly ramped up over the next 2 months. They'll have any and every excuse. Got to take time off for Black Friday, whatever it is. So yeah, if folks have suggestions or thoughts about that, maybe even that's something that you can bring up and be preemptive about, that I know the holiday season is coming and people might want to take time off to be with family or take trips and all that. But we still have duties and obligations. How can we get best go about doing this to make sure that we don't, you know, have unnecessary gaps because of, you know, vacations and all that, or just, you know, bringing that up in advance and maybe it was done on jobs where I've been, where it caused such a problem, people's disruptions because of vacations and such. Other folks have problems, situations they would like to address, workplace racism. Greetings, caller in Florida.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I wanted to start out with, I'm not sure if I shared this one because it's been so many acts of racism going on, so many observations. This first one was, there was a supervisor of the child support department, and they, when they were trying to plan the Halloween luncheon a couple of days ago, and she came barging in asking for our emails, and the tone was very authoritative, and it reminded me of an enforcement official, like, and this was just a white supervisor or whatever. So it's like, you know, what is your email and what's your email? Most of the people around are new, so they just gave the information or whatever. But she had this notepad, like those yellow sticky notes and a pen. So she's just writing them down. And I'm like, what do you need this for? And she was like, oh, you know, I'm just going to send out an email invite. So I went back to ask her about that again. I was like, made it seem like we were being interrogated. You sounded like a police officer. So she was like, oh, no, no, it's not like that. I was just trying to collect the emails or whatever. But just the way in which it was done, and it was conscious too, definitely that's the way she articulated. The next one is, I've been having a lot of people trying to get me to participate. And there was just one time when I was like, I said, someone was trying to ask me to go downstairs to vote. And it's interesting, they use the word vote on a food dish for like a scary food dish for Halloween. And I was like, vote for what? And this is what she said. And then I said, I'm not participating in that. I don't want anything to do with that. So she just made a statement saying that you're no fun, because, you know, here again, I think they're in trouble about something connected to racism. So they are trying to make sure a certain collective of white people to go around and be quote unquote nice to particular black people in the office. And I think I'm at the top of that list, because there's been at least 8 or 9 of them trying to just offer me to go eat something, and I turned all of them down, rejecting them. And the reason I'm bringing that one up is it's like they know something is about to be revealed. Like they already know something, but the black people don't know, you know, and that's no surprise. We usually the last to find stuff out, which leads me to my third one. This white female definitely practicing racism. I'm down in the break room and I'm about to leave, and she walks in and she's saying, oh, hey, why don't you get some of this pie in the refrigerator? So I'm like, no, I'm okay. So I'm about to leave, and she was saying, oh, well, how come you don't want to eat any food or whatever? So like, no, like I already said, I'm good. And she says, oh, well, don't you want to share any with me? Don't you want to share any with me? I said, absolutely not. I said, no. I said, uh-uh. Then she said, I'm offended. And I said, why are you offended? Because you don't want to eat any of the pie. And I said, well, you don't have to eat any either, just like me. So I left after that. And next thing that happened was I went upstairs and she was saying, oh, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm mad or whatever. I'm mad at you over there, you know, snickering and smiling and smirking. So I'm like, what are you mad about? And she was like, well, I can't believe you turned me down in the food. I said, you did turn down both of them. And then one thing that was important that she said was that such and such made this pie, this lady made this pie, and she named a black female that was on the luncheon committee. She made this pie, and you should at least have that one. Now, I should at least have the black female's pie. All right, so definitely racism. You minimize the black person and the food contribution she made. You know, putting it under everybody else's. So you at least should try some of the black person's food. So I'm like, what do you mean turn you down? And she's like, yeah, you just turned down both things, me and the pie. I said, I was initially talking about this food. I don't know where else you're going with that. So I just continued to collect my envelopes and mail, and I kept going. The next one was, there was a comment made, and when I asked the question, when I went up to the judge's office, I asked how was everything going in here with her and the judge set of hearings, and the response that she gave me was, oh, you know, we're stepping and fetching to get things done. And I said, damn, I know I heard that somewhere before, but just I never heard that used in the workplace context. So I wanted to share that one too. The next one is there was an event with a majority black crowd out in the front plaza, and the reactions that people were given definitely didn't align to the reactions that happened a week prior to that, where there was a fest, I guess a punk fest, and people went in all black, and I guess they call them so-called punk rockers, and no one really reacted to that. But when it was black people occupying the plaza, which rarely ever happens, everyone's saying, oh, this music is just so loud, and it's just full of bass, and it's, oh man, I can't take it. But white people were being constantly questioned, well, how come you didn't say anything about the people before that? And I had one girl say that, oh my gosh, this is all your fault. So like, what? How is this my fault? And she didn't answer the question or whatever. And I said, So I just kept going. So I didn't know it was the people were classified as black outside. So obviously it didn't take no time at all for me to make that connection that it was an act of racism. And once again, my last thing is the meeting that just occurred today, actually, November the 9th, it had been rescheduled twice. And me and another black female did not come into work. And we have been the ones showing that counter-racist effort, definitely, most recently. And I think two other black females as well. So I still have to find out what were they discussing in this meeting. And I think she, the one, of course, meant to reschedule this meeting on the day that I took off, so I wouldn't be properly informed of what they were going to speak about. And that's all I have right now.
Much obliged. Caller in Florida at the courthouse. Study in white supremacy racism. Especially in the era of governor-elect Ron DeSantis. The portion that you shared about the emails when the suspected racist came in, I think that's important because really anytime, but especially I think on the jobs, but anytime, it doesn't have to be at work. Individuals classified as white, they dominate. They know that, you know, white supreme. I'm supposed to dominate niggers. That's what I do. That's what we do. That coming and talking with that like police tone, I think that's the way you phrase it. What's your email? Give it right now. What's your email? Hey boy, what's your just talking to us in that way? I think we should be really mindful about that because I know I'm speaking for myself now. I know when I was more confused, and even now, that's a part of our conditioning in terms of how we've been trained for centuries. I mean, even if you want to get to epigenetics, really, for centuries in terms of responding to the voice of authority, really the voice of terrorism, the way that we've been brutalized by whites, to just respond like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. My email is, you know, to just respond in that way. And sometimes it's somebody, this is not the boss. Sometimes, you know, it could be a white child or someone that's a subordinate that's coming and talking to you, as you said, like a police officer, like a warden. I mean, yeah, we are in the system of white supremacy, greater confinement. But, you know, just be mindful that I think that's black self-respect. I think that's great, you know, that you asked or you questioned, why are you even talking to us like that? You know, it's like we're being interrogated or something. Did somebody commit a crime? Is Bill Cosby in here or something? Like, what's going on? The food thing, man, I'm so glad. I don't know how widespread it is, but I was talking to another black person here in Seattle, and they were saying that it was like a workplace situation, and there's a black female. She said she and the other black people had kind of, they were talking amongst themselves and just agreed that they weren't going to eat the food that white people brought on the job. So I was saying, oh, well, maybe that's, you know, at least a small part of codification that we got, that we just don't eat anything on the job. If it gets to the point where whites are coming. Oh, hey, I brought in a pie, brought in, you know, fresh chitlins and fresh string bean casserole. Come on, you got to have, you know, at least. Oh, man, I am good. I would be cautious about leaving my water bottle or even a beverage around in that environment, like nothing. I wouldn't need anything. If black people brought it, it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to trick you at some point and be like, oh yeah, you know, Peggy, the black female over here, she made this, and then they wait till you eat. Oh, I tricked you. I made nothing. Once it gets to that point, that just sounds extremely suspicious. The white woman phrasing it as, you turned me down with the pie, like that almost was like cowbell. Like, it every time that the food thing comes up now, I remember Mr. Steele, when he called and he said, you know, was talking about food being a subject that you can talk about without it getting tacky and racist. And man, every time, like, this is, you know, seeming sexualized. And oh my goodness, like, I would have every sort of peanut allergy, gluten allergy, I'm on a diet, you know, everything, every ailment, like, I can't do anything, I'm fasting, anything, any and every ailment that you can think of. And that's going to really ride over the next 2 months with all the holidays and pies and foolishness that they bring in. I would just make that clear, that would bedrock code. I do not eat on the job, and I don't share food either. And the audacity for any white person, that's one I wouldn't have any shame or compunction at all. I do not have food to share. I am hurting. I am barely getting by and eating myself. I did not bring victuals to feed everyone in the office. And I would say that without shame. You could put that on the same thing that I've been saying the entire time we've done workplace racism, as though you're talking and it's going to be transcribed, recorded. Absolutely no problem saying, I don't have enough food to feed everyone here. I did not bring enough to share with you or anyone else. No, I cannot share my food. And no, I'm not interested in eating anything that you have either. I'm vegan, dairy allergies, peanut allergies, gluten, and anytime when you are also, when you're aware, you're in an environment where it seems that whites have become aware, oh, these Negroes are practicing codification. Maybe we need to get them out of these meetings or what have you. One, you know you're being effective. Certainly, you know that they are watching you, and then continue doing what you're doing because you know it's effective. If it's got to the point that we don't even want that Negro here, see if we can give them an extra day off or move the meeting or anything else that we can do to get that Negro out of here. Continue what you are doing. That is on the correct path. Job well done. Let's see.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. I had two quick, because I know you mentioned the governor's race. I had a quick observation with that. Could I share that, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we were watching an ad that was opposing Andrew Gillum. And so the white woman pointed out when they were showing photographs of Andrew Gillum, with I guess they was talking about some investigation of he took money or something. They said, I noticed how they darkened his image to make him look evil and very sinister. And I said, well, I talk about that kind of stuff all the time. He said, yeah, you're right. And yeah, a white person pointed that out on a commercial. So I said, this is why I'm not celebrating the Halloween. So I connected that together. And she also shared that she was very angry with her brother for saying that he took her mom. This lady is like, I guess, 72 or whatever. Her brother took their mother to a hospital, and they heard the nurse's name was Katrina, and they refused her service because he told her that her name sounded like it may be a black person. So she was, I guess, starting an argument with her brother about this. And she was like, I can't believe my mom's a racist. And you know what he said? He told her that, well, it's no big deal, I'm a racist too. So I actually laughed when she said that. But she was just upset and almost turned into the weakened white woman. You know, and that's all I have.
Wow. I'd be careful about her too. Any white person that's making it seem like, oh, I know the deal. I know racism is a big problem, and in fact, I know a racist. I'm certainly not racist myself, you see, but oh yeah, I know a racist or two. I just can't believe it. Like, oh yeah, you are especially dangerous. I will appreciate the. Oh yeah, really? That's what your mom? Wow, didn't even want to give Katrina any help. Definitely put that in the dossier. Wonderful information to know, but oh yeah, you are especially, and it's seeming like you want to get tuned up to weep. Oh man, definitely dangerous white woman. Other folks, much obliged, sir. Other folks who dialed in, who have commentary, not ignorant about racism. Notice that they darkened up old Andrew Gillum to make sure he didn't get the governorship. Notice that, not ignorant at all. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, if we've not heard from you at all, if you have commentary, proceed.
Can I be heard?
Codified software developer. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, good evening, Gus. Good evening to all the callers and listeners. So I've heard a little bit. I heard about Stacy and the evaluation. My company does the same thing at my job where they have you evaluate yourself and then your or the company I work at, excuse me, they do the same thing where they have you evaluate yourself and then your manager or whatever comes in and evaluates that. Very recently, I was told by my manager that I needed to complete my evaluation. It's not necessarily due until January, but I needed to complete. In fact, he was telling me to complete it since about March of this year, because apparently I needed it in order to get a promotion. Well, I really didn't care about the promotion anymore, so I didn't do it. And he kept on needling at me, or maybe I shouldn't say it. He kept on insisting that I do it, and so I wrote like maybe two lines down in each of the three columns. I think it's what went well, what didn't go well, what would you have done differently? And I wrote like two lines. I really did a half, I just half measures. Like I took half measures on it. And then I was told I got the promotion. So I don't even think that they even look at these evaluations. I just think it's just an excuse for them to do whatever they want to do. And that makes it even more frustrating for non-white people, because they can use it in any way they see fit. Two quick anecdotes today. Well, I guess one sort of happened. Two things happened in a meeting that I had on Wednesday with the lead architect. The first thing is I was talking to him, and I've been working on this big project, and there is another project that this project has a dependency on, and nobody was working on it. And so I had written some logic to sort of handle that situation because nobody else was working on it. And all of a sudden, a couple of people on the architecture team were going to do this project. And I said, oh, how's that going? He said, well, we didn't even think we could do it until you had done what you did. So, you know, they're just going to take your code and use it and take all the credit for it, right? And I said, okay. And he said, oh, they're not really going to do that. And I said, it wouldn't be the first time. And he said, well, I mean, they're really not going to do that. And I said, historical precedence, dude, I'm not really worried about it. I mean, and you know, and I didn't say anything about racism or whatever, but I mean, white people have been stealing from non-white people for centuries. So whatever. Then later on in that meeting, and this is why I'm really, really pay attention to what the words that people say and how they use the words, and even down to the article. So I said to him, I said, well, you know, my manager wants to know, after all this is done, will I be reintegrated back into that team? And he said, well, you know, we have to do this, and then we have a couple other iterations, and, you know, it's going to be a while before we finish this. And I said, yeah, but I'm talking about after all that, then will I be integrated back into the team? And he said, well, you'll be on a team. He didn't say the team. He didn't say your team. He didn't say the team's name that I was on. He said a team. And so I questioned him, and I said, well, are you speaking specifically about, well, I didn't say it like that. I said, oh, my team, right? You know, and I gave the team name. And he said, yeah. You know, and I don't think I'm on that team anymore. I've said that before. I don't think I'm on that team anymore. I just think they're just sort of moving me off of that team onto another team. Finally, you know, in just sort of a weird kind of Delectable Negro moment. So sometimes I talk to people. Every once in a while, I, you know, talk to people to make it look like I have some interest. And there are a couple guys at my job who are really excited about a certain video game coming out. And I play a couple of video games every once in a while. That's how I relax. So I knew about this video game, and they were having this big beta session. They're having this big user acceptance testing kind of session where they have, like, players who pre-ordered the game play. So they can test the servers or whatever. It's a multiplayer game. They typically haven't done a multiplayer game before, but they're doing it now. And so I asked them a couple questions about it. And there's this one of the guys, he's an intern. He's just the creepiest dude. And, you know, he keeps on insisting, you know, when you get the game, we can play together. You can just give me your screen name. And I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to play with other people. I don't think I'm going to be playing that game. You know, and he is really insistent. I'm just the creepiest thing ever, you know. Again, that idea of consumption. He's really, really creepy. So that's all I have to share. I will mute my line. Thanks so much.
Much obliged, codified software developer. I think that's a really important point about the evaluations, that it's not like they're trying to use this as some sort of honest metric to gauge performance. And did you really earn this promotion and this raise and all that? It doesn't really matter. We're going to do what we want to do anyway, whether you filled it out, halfway filled it out, or sleep when you filled it out. We're going to do what we want to do anyway, regardless. But it is nice if you, you know, call it a day. That does look nice as we go through the procedures. I think with the theft of ideas, very important, just sticking to logic, not even mentioning racism, but just sticking to logic, precedent, just keeping it business, extremely important, codified. The gaming, or I guess just the recreation in general. I think there is something just about consuming more of the time and energy of Black people. We can hang out and do this after work as well. Because I've just noticed a lot of that period, whether it's playing video games or let's get together and drink or whatever it is, just that continued consumption of our time and energy under the guise that this person is not racist, that, you know, we're equal, we're friends in this endeavor. I don't know what the game is to add even more context to it, but that consumption of Black people, literally and figuratively, takes on so many different forms for whites. Other folks who dialed in who have commentary to share, if you have your own situation or if you have comments on what has been discussed thus far, the line should be open. Proceed.
Go ahead. It's all right. You can go ahead and finish.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to say really quickly about that game. There's a great deal of cannibalism in that game. Like, there's literally cannibalism in that game. You can get a perk that allowed you to eat people. And being a multiplayer game, I actually did try it during the beta, and I played I created a highly melanated black male character and walked right outside and was immediately punched by a white person. So I'm pretty sure there's a great deal of racism that's going to go down in that game. I'll mute my line. Thanks so much, Doug.
That's probably what they wanted to do, like hang out and take out some violence. I don't know if it would have been you all playing as a team or playing competing against one another. Going back, caller in Florida said it's always a competition. It's always a race if a black person is involved. But that would be about what I would expect. Punching, cannibalism, all of the above. Red in Nevada, you were going to share, ma'am.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to share. I don't have any commentary about anyone else's stories this time. I just recently joined the call. But I at the plantation where I'm currently employed, I've been moved for like five or six times. I think this at that point is five or six. Now where the workstation is basically is... It's a very anti-black. It's just a lot of different things going on. It's much worse than the area before. So I just try to really focus even more so, much harder on like the task at hand, rather than all the stuff that's going on around me. And it kind of just seems like the white people in charge, they just let it go on, of course, because they really don't care. When it comes to anti-blackness, especially between other victims. I know that y'all were talking about food. There's this one white woman, suspected racist, at the job and where I'm currently at. And this white woman she says certain things where it's like, I'm saying suspect, but it seems like, she probably isn't. But one of the food stories was that she had offered a black female, she offered a black female some watermelon because she had some watermelon. And, black female was like, no, I don't really want it. But then, she kind of, coaxed her into getting some anyway. And they started talking about all the different ways that you can eat watermelon and stuff like that. And then she had said... the white woman had said, yeah, and I learned, and I know that you can eat it with salt. And I learned from your older people. And it was like, subliminally like racist because like, she doesn't know just listening to them speak. I know she doesn't know the black female that well to actually in that same, saying mean, oh, well, I've spoken to, your grandfather or something like that. And I've heard that's what he told me that how you eat the watermelon or whatever. So I thought that was interesting. She says things like that all the time. At least every day that I hear her say things like that. And, it's kind of just, nothing is really like addressed with her. The other thing that happened, there was a feverish, cause I feel like that's the term for the cows now, the new term. But there was a feverish moment. There was another, female victim, non-white female, and she had said something about this white man in the area who also is also kind of is in that same area, and she was saying something about either commenting on how he looked or some type of feverish statement. I can't quite remember what it was, but maybe even like considering go out on a date with him or something like that. Now the white woman, she had said, are you talking about such and such? She's like, yeah, I must be the non-white female. She's like, yeah, well, I guess maybe I must just be desperate or whatever. And the white woman said, well, you know what, if you're that desperate, then we can hook up. Now this white woman, she has a spouse, she's had children, but they still, they kind of still insert themselves into situations like that, unsolicited, I guess. And I think, the non-white person and this white woman, they talk or whatever. So it wasn't something that, was kind of like, at least outwardly upsetting to the non-white female. But I just thought that was just really interesting. And, at least I know at this point she definitely, you know, of course, like I said, she said other things or whatever, but she definitely doesn't seem like a suspect. But I just try to, you know, really just not even, you know, because I just try not to focus on, you know, what these new suspected racists who I'm around, you know, try to focus on them too much because it's a whole lot to take in. And I guess I will leave it there. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Context of white supremacy. Maybe it isn't so widespread with the food code in the workplace, but really be mindful about that. If whites are excited and just jubilant, got fresh watermelon just for you. Was at the store thinking of you. I'm good. I think that is always the safe bet to take in the workplace. Every time. The cowbell situation, other than the tackiness of it all, I mean, racists can really take advantage when we're confused and, you know, are open to sharing lots about ourselves in the workplace. They can really take advantage of that sort of thing. Wow. Just even for to make that sort of comment, yikes. Confusion is lethal. I will leave it there. Confusion is lethal. Other folks who have comments, and I did say that about getting moved around, that should not be minimized, being moved 4, 5, 6 times over such a short period of time. Like, most people that I know on a job do not want that. That is not ideal. They want to get to one cushy spot, preferably with a nice view, and stay there. They don't want to, you know, come in every other weekend. Oh, we moved, you know, now you're up on the 23rd floor. Oh, now we moved you back down to the third floor. Now you're on this. I mean, keep the squatters moving. That's on the macro and the micro. Other folks who dialed in, if you have commentary to share, line should be open. Proceed.
Good evening. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd like to share a couple of incidents that happened at my workspace. So I'm close friends with a black female that is currently pregnant, and so at my workplace, they wanted to give her not only her, but there's 3 women that are pregnant at the same time. So they wanted to give a baby shower to these 3 women, 2 non-white black women and 1 suspected racist female. And I want to add that the suspected racist female already had another baby shower that was, I guess it was a private baby shower, but some people that worked with us was invited. I definitely wasn't invited. But she had a baby shower already. And so again, they gave her a baby shower for these 3 women. So I'm sitting by the black female that I'm friends with, and I'm talking to her. And so the suspected racist female that's pregnant, she's a relatively young, her first child, pregnant with her first child. The black female that I'm friends with is pregnant, and this is her second child. And I'm just listening. I'm not talking much. I'm listening. And the suspected racist is just talking very confidently about just different aspects of giving birth and being pregnant. She's just saying a lot of things that she, and, you know, if I didn't know that this was her first child, I would have thought that maybe this was like her fourth or fifth, or she raised several children herself, but she was just really talking to this my friend, just telling her all types of stuff about, you know, the sex of the baby and the delivery and how the baby sits, where it sits high and low, just all types of things. And I immediately thought, like, you know, just another example of, you know, I don't know if any of these things were facts, because I was half listening, but white people who claim ignorance to anything is just, it's just them practicing deception again. Like I said, this young, you know, white woman or whatever was just spinning all types of stuff as if, yeah, she was an expert. You would think she was a OBGYN or something like that. So I get up from that, my seat, and I'm just kind of hovering around, because I don't really want to socialize too much with some of these people. So this man, I think he's a suspected racist. He might be one of these people that say that they're Latino, non-white, non-black, supposedly, but I think he's a suspected racist. I think he's white with a, I guess, so-called Latino or Spanish last name or whatever. So I overhear him speaking to another black male that I work with, I just overhear him say, "Oh, they love African Americans." And then I get a little closer. It kind of piqued my interest, and I said, "What was that about African Americans?" He said, "Yeah, the women in Japan, they just love the African American men." And, you know, and I'm curious to, yeah, I didn't get the context, but I don't know why he said that. And I've lived in Japan myself for, you know, several years, and I found that was a racist. I thought that he was being racist there with that comment, just because, like, you know, like they're, I can use that word, feverishly, like the Japanese women are just feverishly chasing, you know, black men. And there are some that are, I guess, attracted to black men, but it's not. I tend to see that white males greatly exaggerate that point. And again, that's me, for me, before going to and living to Japan, and, you know, and afterwards, they just say, yeah, like, you know, they're just, you know, I guess, putting us out there as these, you know, sexual beasts or whatever. I don't know. That's the point that I got from him. And also, he made another point to say how racist that Japanese people are. So I'm listening. He says, "Yeah, I had my ex-girlfriend, man. Those Japanese people, they just hate Chinese people and Filipinos. They just hate them. They're so racist. He used to say all types of racist things whenever a Chinese person was around and a Filipino was around." I was like, yeah, and I just took note of that. So again, he's definitely on my racist suspect list. So lastly, there was a white female that was the person that coordinated this baby shower, again, for two non-white black females and a white suspected racist female. The white female, you know, coordinated this baby shower during work hours. So I was talking to my black female friend, and she told me this happened today, and I was like, I have to share this on the program today. She said, and they were working in their, you know, their workspace, and this white female said, "This is kind of frustrating. There's not really any white female role models for white, you know, white women like me." I mean, just look at the black females. They have so many role models to look up to, so many mentors. Like, you have people like Oprah, and you have Beyonce, and stuff like that. And it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of sad that we don't have many white female role models. And yeah, just another racist comment. Just always portraying themselves to be victims when they're actually, you know, practicing terrorism pretty much all the time. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
The lie of white fragility, such a hard world for them, under attack, no role models. It's difficult. The cows, context of white supremacy. Not surprised about the getting to plan a baby shower on company time like that. I don't know. Like, you get compensated for planning a baby shower for anywho. Yeah, I'm not surprised about the white woman being the expert. That's why I said it always stands out to me when whites, and we're having discussion about racism, white supremacy, and then they suddenly become ignorant. That's the one time. Any other time, they speak with such extraordinary expertise about any and everything. But then racism, now they are the dumbest person in the history of the universe. Yes. The number again, 641-715-3640. The code, 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. And I'm sure she wouldn't even make a comment like that to a white person. That's like her reserved nigra talk, that I'll go and whimper and whine that they don't have white role models for me to follow in the world. That's, you know, practicing racism, correctly identified. Practicing racism. Other folks who dialed in, if you have commentary you would like to share, comments on what's been shared thus far, or if you have your own situation, proceed. Good. While folks are spectating, I can make sure I am leery anytime I hear that word mentioned. I've heard Mr. Fuller's audio where he talks about loving black people. Anytime someone says that, like, oh man, like, woof, I am super leery about anyone articulating that they love black people, black females, black males, black people collectively, black babies. Like, man, super, super leery. And I find it humorous. I don't think she would be upset, but I do find it humorous that that'll be a part of Pam's legacy, Pam's lasting legacy, the use of the word feverish in a new context. I think she would get a kick out of that from us reading the book. Anywho, other folks have commentary that they wanted to share.
My gosh.
Stacy in the UK.
Yeah, you mentioned something about holiday leave. I forgot to mention another recent racist experience with my manager. I've worked for the organisation for a long time. Only twice have I ever encountered a problem with annual leave. This time round, Well, we have an electronic system where we request leave, and essentially I would log in as myself, book what dates I want, and then the email goes to my manager with her requesting that she have approve or decline. But I find it quite impersonal. So I always will either send an email beforehand or an email afterwards saying, I've just sent through a request for leave. So this time round, the first time I requested leave from her was back in August. And because I'd been away, I couldn't remember my password. And I was waiting for HR to change the password for me. So I did actually send her an email and had not logged in at that point. And she agreed to leave. And I said, when they change the password, I will request it formally through the system, because then it adds in it, you know, it will log your balances. So that happened, and that was in August, and I took the leave. And then in September, she sent me an email and said, because I'd requested more leave, she said, oh, weren't you going to book out the leave for the date in August? So I'm like, why is this woman sending me this? Because I had actually gone in and requested it formally. I think she was trying to trip me up. But I, once you send the request through, you get an electronic response back. So the request will go to your manager, but you also get an email acknowledgement that you've requested leave and it's pending approval. And I never, ever delete emails. If you send me a joke, it's in my inbox. So I kept the request that came through from the electronic system. So when she was trying to claim that I hadn't booked leave, I forwarded her the electronic request that came through. So then all of a sudden, oh, I don't know what happened. I'll check with HR because I didn't receive this. I thought, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so this time around, as I said, I went through the formal process and requested it through the system, but I had the backup email that I'd sent her to. She didn't approve my leave. And this time around, I thought, do you know what? I am not taking that leave, because the first time around, she had actually agreed it in writing. But this time around, I had nothing. I thought, I am not taking leave. And so I didn't. And it didn't inconvenience me because I had an appointment, but I worked around it. And I thought, you obviously thought that I was going to take that leave, and then they'd probably have an excuse to say I took unauthorized leave. So I thought, I am not doing it. And needless to say, I was back in the office, and on the day that I needed leave, I don't think she was expecting to see me, but I came in as normal. I didn't say a word, wasn't upset, didn't even mention it. And I'm sure she was most disappointed. And then it came up a couple of weeks later, I needed to book some leave. So I just sent her an email. I'm requesting leave such and such a date. And can you also decline the leave request that I sent through for the date that had obviously now passed? Because if you don't decline it, but it looks as if I've taken leave, so I want the days, or rather the hours, to be put back into my leave entitlement. And so all of a sudden she sends me an email, I am so sorry, I don't know what happened, I just totally missed this. I didn't even remind her that I'd also sent her the backup email, because it was pointless. I just added that to my list of mistreatment. But yeah. Deception. I'll meet my langas.
Stacy in the UK, 3:18 a.m. Saturday morning. Context of white supremacy worldwide. That is so disciplined. I think that's so important, because I think I misread the message from one of our listeners before who said they were spectating. It wasn't simply that whites were taking off a lot of vacation time. It was that these suspected racists were getting a lot of vacation time. And then when this black person, one of our listeners, tried to get their own vacation time, they ran into lots of obstacles. That was the full skinny on what they were going to share us that they will write in to discuss as they are spectating now. But that is so, so common. But I think the discipline required there, when you submit the request, you do everything the correct way, you file your paperwork, you do your backup to, hey, this is time that I've earned off, requesting my time off, and then they don't follow through. Don't even have the decency to recline, just you don't get a response at all. And then, as you said, this could be a ploy. You take the time off, and then bang, they got justification and up. Unauthorized time off, and you know that's going to be a write up, or that might be excuse to terminate you, whatever they want to do, to just go ahead and show up, and then you know, hey, I'll try again, see if I can get it, and ask maybe even earlier this time to give more notice. But that is so disciplined, because I think whites do that sort of thing all the time, to just have us be frustrated, have us be upset, to see if we'll just go ahead and take the time off anyway. I think that happened with Thomas in New York. Like, they do this sort of thing all the time. Save every single email that you get in a workplace context. Save, and maybe even have a backup in case they do something to your email. But I think that is spectacular, that way that you have documentation, electronic documentation of what's happened and, you know, what's been said, what you've requested. All of that is written down, recorded. But that is spectacular and unfortunately to be expected as we move towards the horror day season, the tackiness with requesting leave time. Other folks have any comments, especially if we have any folks who figured out codification to getting around that when they try their racist shenanigans, when you need time off or sick leave or whatever it is, if anybody's figured out a code that works well to kind of minimize some of that mistreatment, that is always appreciated.
Mary here?
Yes, ma'am.
Greetings, Beth, and greetings to all the callers in line. Hit the wrong button. Shout out to the code, to the Cutterfly software developer. White people are going to be white. I want to use her phrase. That was so tacky and terroristic in my view. What happened to, or at least what read, our resident expert, what she observed about the watermelon to coerce and I would say even harass the victim into doing that just so she could... So that she could, you know, disparage her. And white people, I mean, they're so petty. I mean, that's so stupid. Like, you gonna sit here and try to clown her over watermelon, like everybody don't like watermelon, like watermelon ain't good. Like, man, the nasty stuff y'all eat, y'all just really need to, white people really need to calm down on that. And as far as the homosexual comment as well, about something about we could hook up if you're that desperate. I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is a racist talking to a victim. I don't care if they supposedly talk or whatever, supposed to be friends or whatever the situation. That don't mean that this person is not a racist. They probably are, and just, you know, pretending to be cool with this victim. As far as the comment about what the racist said, what she say? She said, we don't have no role models. Ultimately, when I heard that, I wondered if she was really taking a jab at Oprah and Beyonce, because from my observations, the only thing that they are revered for from black people is their money. And in Beyonce's case, her beauty. And what I've seen a lot is black people complaining about their personalities. So I'm not sure that I've heard anyone... any black people revere them as role models. Like they, how can I put this? They complain about Oprah a lot of times for her views on racism, and they complain a lot of times about Beyonce, about her, her conduct, maybe the way she dresses and things of that nature. And the last thing that I just wanted to say is, I really wish Thomas in New York the best. I'm sorry that he had to get into, I believe, a physical altercation, if I have that correctly, and I just hope that there isn't any retaliation or that nothing negative comes back on him as a result. And that was all I had. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Gus. I'm in my life.
Much obliged, Ivy. Yes, hoping Thomas in New York is doing well and no repercussions, no retaliation from racists on the job. The number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks who dialed in, if you have a hand up, if you have commentary to share, should be with us.
Can I be heard?
Codified software developer.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment about the vacation taking. So I've had, at the company that I work for now, I've had two extremes where I've had one manager who didn't care what time you took off. He would frequently, I don't even think he paid attention to what time you were taking off. If you put in a time off request, he would grant it. That proved to be problematic when I mistakenly thought we did not have July 3rd off and I needed it off for something for my son. And I took it off and then I found out that we already had it off. And so there was no reason for me to use vacation time. And I asked him why he gave it off, why he gave it to me. And he said, oh, well, you know, I just approved those. And that's my birthday too, you know. So I know he knew that we had that day off. And now I have a manager who actually is pretty hardcore about taking the time off. I have used, and also working from home, I've cited policy and procedure. So my grandmother died, and well, when she was dying, I told him, I said, well, I will probably be taking bereavement, which is, according to our policy and procedure, I would do 3 days of bereavement. So I said, I'll probably be taking bereavement sometime soon. And he said, well, you know, you need to bring in all this documentation and show it to HR. And my grandfather died previously the year before when I was with the other manager, and I didn't have to do any of that. All I had to do was put in a request. And I asked HR if they needed some documentation, and they said no. And I brought that up. He said, well, you know, things are different. You know, and so when I put in the bereavement request, I just said per page 45 of the policy procedure that says I get 3 days off. On the actual request, it was approved, no problem. And as far as holiday vacation, I will generally take a week off around Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, not because I celebrate the holiday, but because my son is off and I want to spend time with him. And I will frequently do that, and I will make sure that I'm talking about that 2 months in advance with my manager so that he is aware. It just so happens that this particular plantation I work at, that is a time where we have a cold freeze and there's really not a lot of work going on, so it's very slow. But that's always been my methodology, either use policies and procedures when it comes to work from home, saying, well, this CEO just sent out an email that said we can work from home at least 2 days a week, you know, or, you know, making it known that, yes, I'm going to take this time off. I'm going to bring this up with everybody who has authority to allow me to take this time off, and I'm going to make sure that I get it. That's all I have. I'll mute my line.
Love it that we did not get through a broadcast on workplace racism without a citation of the importance of policy and procedure, citing specific page, paragraph, sentence. Love it that make sure you have read your policy and procedure. And it should be helpful. It shouldn't be, you know, a drag. It should be something where you have learned quite a bit about the place where you work. And then it's useful. We get bereavement time. Oh, okay, great. Can use that. And then if it's any rigmarole, boop, page 45, 3 days. That's what it says. And they'll do that sometimes. That's the other reason I think it's so important. I think I'm not one of my favorite words, like feverish has caught on, but I think it's empowering when you know what the policy and procedure is in your workplace. When you have a race soldier who comes to you and says, oh, we don't have bereavement policy here, or, you know, you have to bring in a note. In fact, we'll need a DNA specimen from the corpse and a letter from the funeral home, and we'll need a notarized copy of the death certificate. And, you know, they're just rattling off and talking to practicing racism, which is done frequently all the time worldwide. Wait a minute, as opposed to an exact thing that I said before, that voice of authority, because sometimes, just like caller in Florida said, they'll come and it won't be, oh, I'm so sorry that you lost. Sometimes it'll be, they just come, white people being white. Look here, we don't do bereavement days. If you're going to take any days off, you need to have this sign. Hey, look here. That's the way that they'll talk to you. It'll be nasty and rude. That's the way that we've been conditioned. Oh, I guess I won't, you know, get to take my days off. Just reading policy and procedure. You don't have to be, you know, intimidated, and that can happen to a lot of us. Just, oh, well, you know, wait a minute. The policy says that we get 3 days. Is this an error? Has something changed? A lot of times that can be enough. Problem solved. You get your time off and proceed. Policy and procedure, very, very helpful. Make sure you have read it in full. Then you can quote it all the time. Yeah, that could be your thing to reference. You could be get a reputation for quoting policy and procedure. Other folks, any other comments that they wanted to share? Everybody satisfied? Anything else that they wanted to make sure they got in?
Hi, guys.
Stacy in the UK.
I just wanted to add a couple of things on the food thing, and actually surveillance. I would just like to encourage people not to eat anything that people have prepared. I mean, I only use the female toilets, obviously, but I am stunned at how many people walk out of that toilet without washing their hands and then proceed to find their way to the kitchen. Mainly racist suspects, but not exclusively. So I would just encourage people, do not eat from anyone. The racist suspects in my team, I've got them well trained. They don't even offer me a tea, coffee, because it's not going to happen. And they just know the code where I'm concerned. Don't even bother. And don't expect me to offer to make anything for anyone else either. It's just not going to happen. I'm a germaphobe, so they do notice that I don't really touch the taps or anything because people don't wash their hands. So I usually have a pen or something, because the taps, the way they're designed, you can actually press them with your hand. So I usually got, if it's not a tissue, it's a pen. And I remember my race soldier manager, who wasn't my manager at the time, observing me using the photocopier with my pen, and another little race soldier observing me using my pen to use the water tap. I just didn't even respond to their question. I just didn't say a word, and then they got bored. But they just pay a lot of attention to what you do. On the emotion thing, and just, you know, I guess trying to control when you're being provoked. I remember years ago, I am so much better now in terms of managing my reactions to what race suspects do. But, you know, years ago, there was a procurement lawyer who he was supposed to be advising me on a piece of work. And I don't know where they found him, but he, I'm not saying he didn't know his stuff, but he was, or, you know, or rather didn't have any knowledge, but I just found him pretty poor. And he came along to me one day and he was advising me on this project and waffled on and on with all kinds of theoretical spurious nonsense. And I let him go on. And then I said to him at the end, I mean, that's very useful, but when I need to take this through the board, they're going to want to know X, Y, Z. And his response back to me was, oh, you're more intelligent than I thought. And I was stunned, but I didn't react. But I thought, wow. And then a few months later, he had crept up behind me, wanting to, or maybe, well, it's the same project, but yeah, maybe it's a couple of months later. He crept up behind me and he apparently was wanting to speak to me, but I was on the phone. And so I didn't see him because he was behind me and I was on the phone to my manager. So we were going through some stuff. So it was a long phone call and I wasn't ignoring him. It was just, I was on the phone and he observed that I was on the phone. But apparently he wanted me to stop my phone call and speak to him. So I don't know how long he was standing there, but he apparently was there long enough to get angry because he then walked around me and slammed the folder or the document that he had that he wanted to speak to me about in onto my desk and said, or rather the desk there, I said, well, when you've got time, perhaps you could make time to speak to me. And I was like, what the hell? So I put he had stormed off. I put the phone down and said to my manager, I've just got to go and deal with something. Now, his boss, I actually did get on well with him, Race Soldier. He was on a different floor to him and he was sat in a bank of desks with a few other people in the team. So about five of them. And I went downstairs and I must have been so angry that I walked up to the desk and I said, Richard, I need to speak to you. And all of them looked up and said, what the hell is wrong with you? And I said, what, do I look that mad? Do I look that angry? And they said, yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to go away and calm down. And then I'll come back and speak to you, Richard. But luckily, I got on really well with his manager. So I explained to him what went on. I told him about the previous comment about me not being or being more intelligent than he thought. Needless to say, I don't think that lawyer lasted very much longer because I think they'd had other complaints about him anyway. But one thing it did tell me is that, you know, actually I was so angry that it showed on my face. I mean, it didn't make a difference in that particular circumstance. And at that point, I didn't really care because of what he did. But, you know, actually, you know, my emotions went over the top, but with provocation. But I meet my line there, guys.
Wasting the time and energy of black people. I'm just talking to a Negro. I don't, you know, need to even make sense. I can just be talking about anything. I'm just talking to a Negro. It's like, oh, this Negro knows a few things. This is slightly smarter Negro. Interesting. Okay. But wasting our time. He wouldn't have said all that nonsense. He would have got right to exactly what you said at the beginning. But white people are not ignorant about racism, white supremacy. And the sneaking up, that workplace racism has taught me a lot, but that is one, I guess, that seems to be worldwide, that sneaking up on black people, because so many people have commented about that, whites sneaking up on them and trying to scare them from, you know, all over the world. What am I to say? I heard a few folks speak up simultaneously. I think the caller in Florida and I think it was somebody else as well.
The other person came off. It was someone else that spoke, or is it? Am I okay to go?
I don't hear them, so you should proceed.
All right. Thank you, sir. I had just two other reports I wanted to contribute. the first one was we have a new non-white person that started last month, and she is what they call bilingual. And I heard a white woman making, well, prior to her starting employment in our area, and you know where I work, she was just talking about how she can't stand doing the translated like marriage license for the people who need, the non-white people who need that Spanish translator or whatever. Just saying, oh my gosh, you know, they should just stay down in Miami and just stay down there. We don't need them up here. And it's just like that all over the country. But she said it in a low tone, and I had on, I utilized my one earbud method where I still have that available listening ear, and she was saying that to the black female. That's definitely one of the tactics they use. They try to address one non-white person in a way of saying something that promotes racism, that's an act of racism to another or about other non-whites. And I say that because this lady that just started, my supervisor, she sent out an email with the lady's resume on it. Like, she forwarded to us, to the entire department, and this lady's personal information is all on there. And at the bottom of it, it did show that she checked off as Hispanic or whatever. I have to try and find it and read that last sheet. It shows that she checked off Hispanic, and whatever that means. And then it asked that question again. So ethnically, are you Hispanic or non-Hispanic? Then before that, it had a race selection, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. So maximum confusion, but definitely an act of racism. And the white woman, she said she thought that the supervisor did that to cause strife. That's the term she used in the department, because she think that it would be some jealous women, correction, jealous white women that would, I guess, the way that I translated it would end up treated this way. So far, I haven't heard anything yet, but that definitely is racist. And the last one is, we've sworn in, there have been two black female judges who won the election on Tuesday, which is some good news. And this white woman, I was upstairs and I had mentioned that. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, there's going to be a swearing ceremony sometime in January. So I was like, oh, is everybody going? She's like, oh, no, I'm not going. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be one that's a circuit judge and a county judge. So still that contempt still showing for black people. Even when they're judges, and then, you know, they said the circuit rider that is the first African American female judge in 28. So it's no surprise. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Much obliged. Not even going to support the feminist cause. First African American female judge going to support my sister? Nope. Seen it, nigger in a robe, seen it. Good. Like, not to be surprised by the conduct of whites. That, I think, is significant for the theory that this is being done deliberately to create strife in the courthouse, particularly to rankle the white females that are working there. Like, wow. I use the word dedicated and I talk about deliberate, but that's pretty flay. And again, can't be ignorant about racism anywhere around for that sort of accusation to be being made. And then that you see this happening, you're not ignorant about it either. But I mean, wow, that is, and at the courthouse, no less. It's supposed to be where they adjudicate, you know, justice and equality and deliberate racial strife with, you know, who's going to be brought in to work at the courthouse. That is, in a place where they're already having racial controversy, where he's reported and accusations of racism being practiced. Now allegations this is being done deliberately to rankle white women. Was there someone else that spoke up? Because I thought I did hear multiple. Is anybody else that we missed who had commentary they wanted to make sure they got in?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to commend the caller from Florida because it appears, you know, I've been listening to his commentary for years now, and it seems as though that he in his workplace he works around a lot of white females, which is quite complicated. And they spend a great deal of time probing, what I call probing. And he does a very good job of diverting that probing that these white females do by asking questions. And asking questions in a way that kind of like goes on the offensive to make them reveal their racist probing. Because they flirt, quote unquote, flirt a lot as far as the technique is concerned. And it seems that he does a very good job at that. I never did work around a lot of females, period. But a few times I worked around white females on the job that I was on. They were more men than the white males were. I think you call them lesbians, whatever, that sort of thing. But primarily that was the type of white female that I worked around. But I suspect that these females are different in that they flirt. And through their technique of flirting, they're basically are probing to find out as much as they can about a non-white black person for various reasons. And he does a good job by going on the offense by asking questions that would reveal, and knowing what a person is revealed about what they are attempting to do that's not constructive, they normally just go about their way or something like that. The only thing about it, though, don't expect to get volunteered to get promoted or anything. And I'm sure he's prepared for that to get it on his own as far as they're concerned. But just an observation that I've had. Thank you.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. Other folks, any other comments, questions, they want to make sure they get in before we wrap things up. We should be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll catch up on what went down over the past week, midterm elections, another white shooter every day. Any other comments folks want to make sure they get in?
Last question, Gus.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it was last year. You asked the question about people wanting to share HR resources or something like that. I was just wondering if that ever happened or if that group got set up.
I was not involved in the group. I was just forwarding information, and I did pass. There were people who wrote, so I did pass along emails. I do not know what folks did with the contact information. I would have to go back to dig in those emails to ask some of the folks if they were able to share details. But I do remember asking that, and people did write back. I do remember more than two people writing with interest about that. I'll email and let folks know if they were able to come up with any details, any constructive info, because that is certainly needed. I can put that out again in terms of resources, HR resources that would be helpful for Black employees, Black people in the area of labor. We had said that might be helpful, and there were people who were interested, listeners who were interested in such a project. Let me know. Untiljustice@gmail.com. There were people who said yes, they were very interested in such a project before and did email me, so I can forward, and I will reach out to those folks and see if they've worked on anything. Other comments? Anything else folks wanted to make sure they get in?
Yes, I would. Go ahead, ma'am.
Thanks, Mr. Firefighter. I want to say to Thomas in New York what he said about the person, the people wearing all black. I don't think I've ever noticed that with anyone, but that sounds really that sounds really suspicious to me. And I just want to say thank you guys for this program for workplace racism specifically. And I just want to point out again that I think that this is the most informative broadcast that I've ever heard anywhere, and just program that I've ever heard anywhere, because, again, I don't know of any other program where you can really learn how white people work to be able to spend as much time with them as you do at work, a minimum of about 5 hours a week, a minimum of, say, 30 hours a week as well, or I meant to say 5 days a week and 30 hours a week, a minimum of those two. It's usually more than that. And so I don't know how you can study white people more in any other situation. And studying white people seems to be the key to solving this problem. So I just think that this workplace racism is just an incredible broadcast. And just, you know, shout out to you, Gus, and everyone who has ever called in to this program, workplace racism specifically, over the whole time that it's been in existence. And thank you, Firefighter, for yielding me my line. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Gus.
Much obliged, Ivy, retired firefighter.
Yeah, just wanted to prefix tomorrow's program. It should be very interesting down here. Hopes, quote unquote, hopes have been regenerated on the political activity, or professional voting activities, has been reinvigorated to Black people that they have some kind of hope because votes have been misplaced, and primarily the brunt of the blame is going to be on a non-white Black female by the name of Dr. Brenda Snipes. Something similar is taking place in Georgia also, to whereas the Black female who is was running for governor is basically stating that I am not going to concede until hell freezes over, I guess. So tomorrow's program should be interesting.
Very sad. Very sad. I saw with some of the what I do every day, counter racism and yoga. So I took my morning yoga classes, and I was at the 6:15 class this morning, a.m. Class ends, non-white female. We had talked about the midterms last week. I told her that I thought Ron DeSantis was going to win. And so we're talking after class, and she says, I remember you said last week that DeSantis was going to win. She describes herself as a Democrat and progressive and all that. And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm still got hope. You know, they're going to do a recount in Florida, and they're going to do that recount in Georgia as well. And, you know, I'm still hopeful that Ms. Abrams and Mr. Gillum, that they can pull it out. I still got hope. And said, I'm going to be pragmatic, practical, logical system of racism, white supremacy, especially in Florida, where Mr. Gillum already conceded. But yeah, we'll chat about all of that, I'm sure, tomorrow. Racial theater at its best, the 2018 midterms.
Mm-hmm.
Much obliged to everyone for participating. I hope it has been a constructive investment of your Friday evening. Again, we'll be here tomorrow. Compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. If you have questions, comments, email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. Certainly, as always, sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. We would do best to preserve our brain computers so that we can think of new concepts, solutions to the problem, racist man, racist woman, racist child. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled up each and every time we are in a vehicle, driver or passenger. Let's do all that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.